We appreciate it so much. I want to recap for those, if there is somebody on the line this week that wasn't with us last week, we talked about hearing God. We talked about the difference between the Rhema and the Logos word, the Rhema word of God being an utterance or something that is more specific, the Logos word being written. It's a lot of what we consider to be the Bible today. We talked about the importance of hearing God because it gives us a sense of belonging or confirms our belonging to God. And at the same time, it can also let us know when we've gotten a little too distant because you don't feel like you can hear him like you used to. Hearing from God is that reciprocity that we talked about last week. Reciprocity simply means God is answering your prayer. You talk to God, he talks back to you. That's both directions. The communication is going in both directions. Hearing from God gives us direction, and it also gives us knowledge of God's plan, God's strategy. It helps us understand what's in his will and what that means for our life. We talked about how do we hear from God. If you remember, we referenced Hebrews 1:1. In the past, God spoke to us, to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And from there we understand that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Understanding that, we begin to dive into the attributes of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is the way that we hear from God, then you need to know who the Holy Spirit is. So on last week, we were able to talk about the Holy Spirit being our helper and our teacher and our intercessor. So he's praying for us. And he's also, by way of the Holy Spirit, he works in us the character of Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 5:22. I urge you again, if you have internet access, to make sure you're going on the church website and these notes are updated and uploaded every week. So if you didn't get it all, don't panic. We'll make sure you got it. But that's where we stopped last week. This week we just want to finish up. It's like three more things that we want to talk about with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to move us right into our next session from hearing God to understanding God. So if you have your Bibles with you, in order to understand this, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. And while you turn there, I want to set this up for you. Actually, turn over and look at Isaiah chapter 10 and look at verse 24. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 24. I'm going to read it, but I'm reading from the New International Version, so if you have a different version, it's going to read a little bit different, but its meaning is the same. Isaiah 10:24 says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, says. My people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians." So right now we understand that the Assyrians are the problem. What's wrong with them? He says, "Who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you as Egypt did." Anytime you see Egypt in the Bible, I want you to understand that that represents bondage. Egypt is going to always, always, always represent some form of bondage. So Isaiah 10:24 is letting us know that the Assyrians are the problem, and they have oppressed God's people. Who beat you with a rod, that's a fear tactic, and who lift up a club against you as Egypt did. So it's bondage by way of fear. So the reason why I want you to know that is because as we look at, you can turn over to chapter 11 now, God is going to give the answer to that. He's saying in chapter 10, I'm about to come to your rescue. He's saying to you today, I'm going to come to your rescue. I know whatever your Assyria is. I know the Assyrians in your life. I understand whatever bondage you're in, and I am coming to your rescue, whether that bondage be by way of a person, place, or thing. God is saying, I see you. And so verse 11, God tells them how he's going to do it. So he says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. If you remember, Jesus is out of the lineage of King David. God promised David that he would never cease to have a king on his throne. If you remember, go all the way back, the people wanted a king. God said, all right, since I'm not good enough for you, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you a king. So God gave them Saul. But because Saul was so proud, God rejected Saul. And when God rejected Saul is when he chose King David. Well, David's father was Jesse. So when he says a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, he's meaning Jesse's son, David. Because if you trace the lineage, Jesus comes out of the lineage of King David. So he is the branch that verse 1 is talking about, Jesus Christ. He's verse 2. Is everybody understanding that so far?
Yes.
Amen. Verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. If you count those out, that's 7. The Spirit of the Lord, that's 1. Wisdom is 2. Understanding is 3. Counsel is 4. 5. Might. 6. Knowledge. And 7. The fear of the Lord. 7 represents perfection or completion. Remember on the 7th day he rested because he was done. Mm-hmm. So this is God telling us who Jesus is. He's telling them, I'm going to get you out of trouble, and this is how I'm going to do it, because y'all ain't caught on yet that man cannot do it. So I'm going to do what man is unable to do. I'm going to come myself. If you remember when they had a priest every year, the priest could only go in one time a year to atone for the sins of all the people. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So what do you do if you got to wait for Pastor Moore to go in one time a year to ask God to forgive you of your sins? What if you die before the year is up?
Mm. All right.
And then every time the priest had to also go in and first atone for his own sins and then atone for your sins. So that's not perfection, right?
Amen.
Right.
And then the people began to ask for kings. Well, when you get a king, first of all, you got to pray that that's a godly king. Mm-hmm. And then second of all, when that king dies, it gets passed on to another son who may or may not be a godly king. So God is saying, I understand what you're asking for, but your request got a flaw. So I'm going to come myself. And when I come, my bloodshed will be the ultimate sacrifice. You won't have to bring me your sacrifices every single time. I'm going to pay your debt once and for all. I'm going to bear the price of what you should pay. I'm going to take you, everything that you've ever done, into myself, nail it on the cross, so now they can never accuse you again. Paid in full. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Amen. We're grateful for that. So now God is saying, Here, this is who I am. So you want to know who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and he's resting in you. This is the way you hear God. So who is, let's go back to number one, the Spirit of the Lord. Why did he start there? Because if you remember, there was a lot of witchcraft and divination going on. So God is saying, first of all, let me let you know that Jesus is authentic. He is of me. He came from me. Remember Jesus said, I and my Father are one and the same?
Yes.
This is God saying, this is the real deal. This is not a false spirit. This is not a deceiving spirit. And this is not a familiar spirit. This is not the spirit of man. This is the Spirit of God himself, the Spirit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I also, okay, I'll get to that in a second. So that's the Spirit of the Lord. This is truth, the real deal. You still got people today that there are some religions that acknowledge Jesus' existence, but they do not acknowledge him as the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So this scripture obliterates that. He said, this is me coming to you. I'm coming myself. The next one, he says, the Spirit of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says Jesus became wisdom for us. He's wisdom. And then he says the Spirit of understanding. Now, this is not just a sympathetic notion. When he says the Spirit of understanding, he's meaning I'm sharp, I'm discerning. And then he also says the Spirit of counsel. This is what you would think of when you think of advice. Getting wise counsel or getting good advice. But there's go an extra step with this, because this is a prudence. This is a foresight. So in other words, if I were to give you advice, I can only give you advice based on what I know right now.
Mm-hmm.
When God gives you counsel, remember he is all-knowing. He's Alpha and Omega. Oh, so yeah. God mm-hmm. is giving you counsel based on what is to come. So in other words, when you think of peace that surpasses all understanding, you got some people wondering why you ain't lost your mind and how you're able to sleep at night. Well, it's because God counseled you, and he said, don't worry, you coming out of this. And even though somebody else don't see you coming out of it, you see you coming out of it because God said so, because he knows what's down the road. Likewise, if God says don't do something, and it looked like a good opportunity, he's giving you wise counsel because he know what's down the road. Don't take the job. I know it looked like the shift you want, the money you want, the boss you want. It's right next to home, but don't take that one because God knows a year from now the company going to go belly up.
Mm.
That's counsel.
Amen.
Amen. So he's also, the fifth one is the Spirit of might. This is power. So Matthew 19 and 26, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, and looking upon them, Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
So the Spirit of might says, remember, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. That means I don't have to know how God's going to do it. I just know God has the power to do it.
Do it.
Do you remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they were throwing them into the fiery furnace?
Yes.
And he said, I still won't bow down to you because my Lord is able to deliver me from your hands, and even if he don't. So in other words, he's saying he's able to deliver me, and even if he don't, it's not because he can't.
Right.
So sometimes we have to look at our situations and say, God is going to get me out of this. God
Amen.
Is going to bring me through this, and even if he don't, it's not because he can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because we Amen. Recognize the power of God. This is God that spoke, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
Let there be, and it was. So if God can speak into existence the earth that we call home, don't tell me that he's overwhelmed by your bills.
Right.
Don't tell me that God is nervous about the coronavirus and he created the earth that it's invading. I just can't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
He's too much
Amen.
Power. The fifth one Man. Is the spirit of knowledge, which means, again, this is knowledge that is not known by others. This is not earth knowledge. This is not science knowledge. This is knowledge that is not known by other people, again, because God is not limited to time. He's not temporal. God knows what's down the line. And when I say down the line, I'm saying 2, 3, 4 generations beyond what your mind can comprehend.
Amen.
And the reason I want to stress that is because sometimes we are going through things, thank you, Holy Spirit, we are going through things and fighting battles, and in our flesh we get tired and we get weary and we start saying, my God, why am I going through all of this? But what you don't Amen. Realize is that it's not even about you. God is allowing you to experience something to clear a path for 3 generations beyond you.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So I need you to strap up your boots and be a good soldier, because you fighting for your children's children's children.
Amen.
Because they shouldn't have to fight
what
your demons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the knowledge that God has given us. God has given us knowledge based on stuff that we couldn't even perceive in our minds. And the last one is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you remember, Jesus himself, Jesus never had an identity crisis. He always knew exactly who he was, exactly where he came from, and exactly why he came.
Amen.
So, but with all of that power, Jesus was still humble. He willingly submitted himself to the will of God. He willingly gave respect and honor to God the Father at all times. So that's why they say it wasn't the nails that held him on the cross. It was love.
Yes.
Because Jesus was very well aware that he could think about getting down, and angels would have come and taken him down, and then we would have been hellbound.
So he
personally chose and submitted himself to go through all of that. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes, amen.
And I just want to drop this nugget right here. Sometimes we need to keep a nevertheless prayer.
That's right.
Nevertheless, God, if you don't do it, not my will, but your will be done. If you don't give it to me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If you don't stop it today, if you don't fix it today, if you nevertheless, I'm not going to stop trusting you. I'm not going to stop praying to you. I'm not a fair weather friend. I'm going to surrender and submit myself to you, even if it looks like things are not going my way. That's the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's all 7, right?
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand, I want to put one twist on that to make us really get it in our mind who the Holy Spirit is, being the Spirit of God. It's not just the Spirit of wisdom, but Jesus is the source of wisdom.
All right.
It's source. Not just the spirit of understanding. He is the source of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just the spirit of counsel. He is the source. It's not just power. He is the power source. It's not just knowledge. He is the source of knowledge. So living within you, when you confess Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior over your life, you now have living on the inside of you, not just some knowledge, but you have the source of wisdom, the source of understanding, the source of counsel, the source of power, the source of knowledge, and the ultimate resource for the fear of the Lord. That is who you are.
All right, now.
So if you never, ever knew before who you are, you have the absolute, unequivocal source of God living on the inside of you.
Amen.
Michelle.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you said the seven spirits of God. This takes me back. We was in Revelation.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
God was talking to the church of Sardis. And he talked about the seven spirits of God and the seven stars.
Exactly.
And as Pastor Moore taught, he said this is the totality of God, one Christ who embodies the Spirit of God. So God, as Pastor Moore was teaching about these seven spirits, the class should remember that. I had to go back to my notes. But I'm looking at how Pastor Moore taught about the seven spirits of God.
Yes, Lord.
Amazing.
And it was coming out of Revelation, the third chapter and the first verse.
And the key word, you said a very powerful word when you said embodies.
Embodies, yes.
Embodies. So in other words, it's kind of like saying Jesus don't just love you. Jesus is love.
That's it.
Jesus is not just telling the truth. Jesus is
truth.
Not the
Amen.
Truth, but he is truth, period.
Amen.
It's the full picture.
Yes.
So now when you look at it like that, do you understand why God hates witchcraft?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Because why would you go to something else when you got the source of all knowledge, understanding, counsel, wisdom, might, Alpha, Omega? I see it before you see it.
Amen.
I know it before you could know it. Why in the world would you go and think you're getting some information from a created being when you got the creator that said, I'll tell you all of it?
All right, go ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why God hates witchcraft. It's like it's and I'm a dumb it way down. It's like instead of me asking you about you, I'm gonna go to Sister Polk. Why wouldn't I just come to you?
Amen.
And then I want to make it look like my motives are good. Well, I was just wondering if she was okay. No, you're not. You're gossiping and you're being messy. Because if you really want to know about Sister such and such, then you need to go to Sister such and such. And God is saying, if you really want to know about me or what's going on with you and you came from me, then come to me.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Because nobody can tell you about you better than God can.
That's it.
Amen.
Right.
For God to be the absolute source, the embodied, who he is of wisdom and knowledge and power, now I understand why God hates pride. Because God is saying, if I know it all, how could you possibly claim to know more than me?
All right.
That's one hand of it. But on the other hand of it, this is what's all inside of you. If you can look at, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, let's start with verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, pay attention to this one, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And you want to know why Satan hates you.
Amen.
Satan is terrified of you finding out who you really are in Christ Jesus. Let me give my disclaimer. I am fed up to my eyeballs about people preaching about purpose and destiny, because you can find your purpose, your destiny, your favorite, the career you think you always wanted, the love of your life, all of that. Satan does not care about that. What he is concerned about or afraid of is you finding out who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because once you find out who you are in Christ, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added on to you.
Amen.
So we got bookshelves that are full of self-help and how to tap into your inner businesswoman and all of this, that how to find your purpose. I'll tell you how to find your purpose. Find Jesus.
Amen.
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 How to find your soulmate. I'll tell you exactly how to find him. Find Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How to find your perfect career. Easy. Find Jesus. Because remember, he is in us. He has anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us. That's the Holy Spirit. And it is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So when you know who you are in Christ, you pray different, you live different, you walk
right.
different, you talk different, because you're not speaking or talking or praying or walking as a beggar. You're speaking and praying and living and walking and talking as somebody that knows what God has promised you, and I'm not going to stop until I see it, because God can't lie.
Amen.
And you can't make me second guess who I am, because it's not me, it's him. And I'm not puffed up and proud in myself. I'm confident in him. You can doubt me all day. I would doubt me too. But the one that saved me lives on the inside of me, and he's perfect in all of his ways.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
So, since we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit is the way we hear God, and the Holy Spirit is the source of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and power and the fear of the Lord, and all of that is on the inside of me. Now that brings me to the anointing. So we're going into our next lesson, which is understanding God. I want to give this introduction. Y'all, I get so excited. I'm sorry. God bless y'all. If you look at the word, remember Isaiah was describing Jesus, right?
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one. So I want to break this down. Remember this. The Christ in Greek means is Christos, which means the anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
Christos is a Greek word that comes from a Greek verb, prio, which means to anoint. So Messiah is the Hebrew word that came from the where they're relating to or trying to describe the Greek word, and Messiah translates the anointed one or the one who is anointed. So, do you remember in the Bible, kings and priests and prophets, they were anointed. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the oil they poured over David?
Amen.
And the oil they poured over Aaron, and it ran mm-hmm. down his beard. So the oil represents the anointing in the Bible. If you look up the word anointed, it means like a smearing or a pouring, right? A smearing of the oil, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So by way of the Holy Spirit, it's like saying the Holy Spirit is our smearing of Jesus on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, God don't treat us as our sins deserve.
Mm-hmm.
That's because when he sees us through the smearing of the blood of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember in the Exodus, in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites, the Hebrew people, were leaving Egypt, and God told them, I'm sending the angel of death.
All right.
So smear the blood of the lamb over your doorpost.
Amen.
All right.
Well, the death angel, keep in mind, this is not the life angel. This is the death angel,
right? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So if the death angel came and saw blood on the door, the death angel wasn't smart enough to say, oh, that's God's protection. No. The death angel said, dang, I must have already been here.
That's over.
Yeah.
Have you heard of a law called double jeopardy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The law of double jeopardy says you can't be convicted for the same thing twice.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are accused of murdering somebody and you're acquitted, they can't turn around and try you for that same murder. That's double jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, when the death angel see the blood smeared over the doorpost,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't go in there because death has already been there.
Mm-hmm.
So when God looks at us through the smearing or the anointing of Jesus Christ, he's saying, I can't punish you again because I see the blood that's already on you.
All right.
Oh, my God. Don't miss your opportunity to shout.
Amen.
That's why he don't treat us as our sins deserve. Because you're covered in the blood.
Oh, yes.
That's the smearing that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we look at the anointing, we understand that it's an outpouring almost. So in the Bible, it was often represented by olive oil, the oil from an olive. In order to get the oil out of an olive, that olive had to be crushed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you got the oil out of it. Isn't it amazing that some of the most valuable things only come out after it's been brutalized?
Amen.
Amen.
You don't get the oil out of an olive until you crush it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the value of a diamond until you put it in the fire.
That's it.
Mm. So I'll bring you to the scripture. Remember, after you've gone through the fire, you shall come forth as pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes what you're going through is bringing out what's anointed about you. Sometimes that's the crushing that you have to go through. Sometimes your storm is not a work of Satan, but it's tailor-made for you because God wants you to know something about yourself that you did not know.
My Lord.
Amen.
God wants you to know you're stronger than you thought you were. God wants you to know you got more resilience than you thought you did. God wants you to know you got more strategy than you thought you did. I'm going to make you think outside of the box. I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to let you pray on another level. And until I put your back against the wall, you won't reach for me like you could reach for me. So we're fixing to take your prayer life to another level. I'm fixing to let your spiritual language come forth. I'm going to bring the anointing out of your hands, because when you get done rebuking this sickness, you're going to have an anointing for healing. Sometimes your trouble is an indicator of where you're going.
All right.
My God.
All right. Amen.
So I'm going to wrap it up here, and we'll pick up next week. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The anointing equips you. The anointing protects you. It empowers you. The anointing is prophetic. And the anointing identifies you. We're going to break those down next week, and we're going to come from John chapter 14.